It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Wednesday, September 23rd. I'm Patricia Naft. State wildlife officials have concluded that a bear didn't attack and maul a hunter over the weekend on the Grand Mesa. KVNF's Laura Pomisano has more.
On Saturday, a man in his late 60s reported he was attacked by a bear. He told Colorado Parks and Wildlife officials he was parked on his ATV near Powderhorn Ski Resort when a bear attacked him, causing him to drive over a small cliff into large rocks below. The episode left him with non-life-threatening injuries. Mike Porras, a spokesman with CPW, says the agency immediately responded to the call and investigated the incident.
It became clear early on that the report may not have been accurate, or that there was not a bear involved. So we began an extensive investigation. We looked at the individual's wounds. We brought dogs out there from the USDA's Wildlife Services. These are trained dogs that can certainly pick up a bear scent if it's there. We looked at the scene very carefully, and based on all of that, we determined that a bear did not cause the injuries or the attack.
Porras says the agency isn't sure what the hunter saw.
We don't know. We are not discounting that this individual believes he saw something that caused him to react. What it is, we don't know, but it certainly was not a bear based on the evidence.
For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
A preliminary report questions the credentials of two pilots who crashed in the San Juans earlier this month. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
The investigation into the plane crash that killed four people outside of Silverton earlier this month has shown that the pilots weren't qualified to fly the plane. The National Transportation Safety Board hasn't disclosed who was flying the plane, but said that the two pilots were only certified to fly single-engine planes without instrumentation. The Cessna 310 they were flying had two engines. When the plane crashed, it reportedly was in weather that would have required the ability to fly using the instrument panel, something the pilots were not certified to do. The four Californians were heading to Texas when they crashed. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
The U.S. Department of Interior decided yesterday that the greater sage grouse does not need protection under the Endangered Species Act. The bird spans 11 western states, including Colorado, where it lives in pockets along the western slope, but is mostly concentrated in the northwest part of the state. Governor John Hickenlooper was one of the many working to avoid a federal listing for the bird. Benta Berkland sat down with the governor to talk about the sage grouse and some other initiatives in the works.
Governor John Hickenlooper, thanks for being here.
Delighted to be back.
Interior Secretary Sally Jewell said that significant conservation efforts done at the state level mean the greater sage grouse doesn't need this federal protection. Why do you think a listing would have been bad for Colorado and other western states?
Listings come with all kinds of basically handcuffs on a lot of things you can't do for large expanses of land. In terms of ranching and farming, you're prohibited from putting in certain improvements, different types of regional industries, maybe oil and gas or something like that. Sometimes they are prohibited. What's happened in this instance is that we as a community, the state of Colorado, has come together and said, with our local ranchers and our farmers and with our regional industries, in partnership with the conservation groups, the land trusts, these wide-scale collaborative efforts have convinced the Department of Fish and Wildlife that the sage grouse is not endangered as they thought it was even 5 years ago.
And you recently submitted a market-based habitat management plan. This decision not to list the sage grouse, does that still need federal approval or is it just approved?
Well, it's hand in glove. I mean, this all goes together, and I think those are the kinds of efforts that resulted in Fish and Wildlife saying this is not an endangered species.
Switching topics, the state Supreme Court recently announced that it will weigh in on the fracking debate. The court is slated to hear whether Longmont can legally ban fracking and then whether the city of Fort Collins can have that five-year moratorium on fracking. Do you think this will kind of put the debate to rest, you know, one way or the other? And how do you think it'll change the discussion, especially as we're moving forward with the rulemaking process from your oil and gas task force?
Well, the rulemaking is continuing regardless. So the rulemaking that was started from the commission, rulemaking to expand or enhance those protections, that's going through independently. What the Supreme Court's going to do, and I don't think there's too much wiggle room here, they're going to recognize that, or I expect that they will recognize that people's private property can't be taken by government without some form of compensation, so that if Longmont or Fort Collins wants to ban fracking either for a period of time or permanently, the people that had reserves should be compensated. Just like if government takes someone's land and they want to put a road on it, and we need that road, that's a public purpose, and I understand that, and we have a whole process, it's called eminent domain, by which we compensate that person for taking their private property. I think there'd have to be some sort of compensation for the people that own mineral rights if we suddenly decided, well, we're sorry, you just can't drill there, we can't do fracking. And essentially, if you say you can't do fracking, that means you can't recover the energy anymore.
Let's talk about your initiative, Colorado Beautiful, to connect trails and make parks and open spaces more accessible to the public, and talk about how it connects with your recently announced $100 million proposal for bike trails. Is that all considered the same thing, or are they two separate?
Well, they are parts of the same effort. The $100 million, that was an effort to take resources that were in many cases already identified as to go for a bike or pedestrian mobility and put them all together in one place. We are going to be the best place for, you know, whether you want to go mountain biking or you want to bike to work or whatever. If you create that level of PR, I mean, it's a huge attraction when we look at tourism marketing.
Thanks, Governor John Hickenlooper. We appreciate you talking to us.
Always a pleasure.
I'm Benta Berkland in Denver.
This week, Colorado Creative Industries, the state's art agency, announced this year's recipients of its Colorado Creates grant program. KBNF's Laura Pomisano reports.
It awarded 168 grants to organizations across the state. In the KVNF listening area, groups in Delta, Gunnison, Mesa, Ouray, and San Miguel counties got funding. Paonia-based Elsewhere Studios, an artist residency program, received a $4,000 grant. Karen Good is the executive director of the nonprofit.
It is for operating expenses, so it will help us to take care of our program of bringing artists to Paonia for artist residencies, as well as a lot of community outreach that we do. We have many different programs, the community-supported art library, the community garden, the Alleyscape project with the art wall.
The Ridgeway Chautauqua Society got a $4,000 grant to help fund the Sherboneau Theater. The state also awarded Weehawken Creative Arts and Ridgeway $7,500. Ashley King is the executive director of both organizations.
Weehawken Creative Arts is an organization that serves the mission of offering arts education and personal growth programs for adults and children year-round to the region. So we currently serve Silverton, Ridgeway, Ouray, and Montrose. The Sherboneau Theater provides high-quality programming in Chautauqua style.
In total, Colorado Creative Industries gave out more than $1.2 million through the Colorado Creates grant program this year. For KVNF, I'm Laura Palmisano.
For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.